Well, this past week was a pretty busy one for my family. We hosted 3 middle school-aged Chinese girls for the week. Emily was a day camper at a basketball camp that went basically from 9 a.m. until at least 9 p.m. almost every day last week. We're trying to get the outside of our house ready so that it can be painted. We had to get a couple of quotes. We had to remove some siding. Had to trim some bushes, you know, so it's ready for that to happen. I had a deacons meeting one evening, youth group another evening, and then there's Dayton Friday nights. We're trying to get packed and ready to go on vacation. I even found time to turn a bowl or two on my wood lathe, as you guys know I enjoy doing that. And of course, that was on top of all my responsibilities, my full-time responsibilities as the pastor here at DFBC. Now, I don't say all that to try to impress you, because I know that many of you have very busy lives, some of them even busier than mine. I know that that's the case. I mean, it seems like we always just have so many things that are going on. But do you ever just step back, take a breath, and ask yourself, am I doing the right things, the most important things? I mean, we cannot do it all. I don't think I know anybody who makes a to-do list and actually ever gets them all checked off, right? How do we decide what's most important? You ever heard of what's called the tyranny of the urgent? It's this idea that constant immediate needs can keep us from doing the most important things. I know it's a constant struggle for me. What does Jesus want us to be doing? I mean, if we have to make a choice between doing something good or doing something bad, I mean, that's easy to figure out. We know for sure what Jesus wants to do in a situation like that. But what if we have to choose between doing 2 good things? Or we're trying to decide how many good things to do. I mean, how do we figure that out? Does Jesus have a priority list for us? And then how do we keep from burning out? I mean, we can only stay up late and get up extra early so many days in a row. We can only go so long without any time off. I mean, is it any wonder that in the Old Testament, God told his people that they had to take one day off every week? We can only push and push and push for so long before our bodies and our minds begin to break down. We get exhausted, sick, even depressed. We cannot do it all. So what is it that Jesus does want us to be doing? What does Jesus say is the most important thing for us to be doing? Now, the Bible doesn't just teach us about Jesus. It also teaches us how to follow Jesus. And so the Bible is full of lessons for us about how we can join in the mission and in the message of Jesus. And so this morning, we are going to see Jesus teach his disciples that it is more important to sit than to be busy, even if they're being busy for him. Then we're going to explore what this means for us by trying to answer 3 questions. Why is it we need to sit? What are the reasons we don't sit? And what are some ways that we can sit? So if you would, please turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, or you don't have a Bible app on your phone, I encourage you to grab one of those red Bibles that's in front of you in the row. And we're going to be on page 1615 in that red Bible. It's Luke chapter 10. Jesus teaches his disciples to prioritize listening to him. When Jesus and his disciples would travel, they were often dependent on the hospitality of others for their meals and for places to stay. When they entered a particular village here, a woman named Martha invites them to stay in her home. Martha makes herself really busy trying to be a good host to Jesus and to the rest of the disciples. Look at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where there was a woman named Martha, or where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, this is actually the only mention of Mary and Martha in Luke's gospel. Luke doesn't tell us anything more about them. He doesn't even tell us exactly where they're from. And the reason is because these are details that don't matter to this story. These are details that are not important to the particular lesson that we're supposed to learn here. Now, that said, it does appear that this is the same Martha and Mary that we read about in John chapter 11. If so, it means that they are sisters to a man named Lazarus, this man that Jesus raised from the dead after he'd been dead for 3 days. It also means that this unnamed village is actually Bethany, which was located just about a couple of miles from Jerusalem. But anyway, having invited Jesus and his disciples into her home, Martha works very hard at getting everything prepared. Likely what she's working on is preparations for a meal. Now, I mean, I think we can see that this would have been a big job because she is feeding at least a dozen people. Martha has a sister who, it appears, also lives with her. Her name is Mary. But rather than helping out Martha with the meal, Mary sits by Jesus and listens to what he is teaching. Now, this is a little bit surprising, and not just because this is what ends up frustrating her sister Martha. You see, to sit before Jesus is to take the posture of a disciple. When a rabbi or a teacher was teaching, their disciples would sit in front of them and listen. The fact that as a woman, she is doing this, this is pretty unusual. Most rabbis did not encourage, much less welcome or even allow women to sit and to learn from them. Many rabbis did not consider women worthy or potentially even intelligent enough to benefit from their teaching. Clearly, Jesus does not agree with this. We see here an example of the high regard that Jesus has for women. Jesus welcomes them as his followers, as his disciples, and invests in teaching and training them. Well, as Mary sits there and listens and learns with the rest of the disciples, Martha begins to fume. She is frustrated that her sister is not helping her with preparations for this meal. Now, we don't know if maybe Martha asked Mary directly for help first. The text doesn't tell us one way or the other. But Martha gets frustrated enough with the situation that she tries to compel Jesus to get Mary to help her. She actually accuses Jesus of not caring that all of the work has fallen to her because Mary is not helping out. That is not exactly a real classy move if you're going to host a special guest. And I think that it suggests that Martha already knew Jesus before this particular visit. Now, clearly Martha is working very hard. There are preparations that need to get taken care of, that need to be finished, and she wants to make sure that they get done. But what is it that's driving her here? I mean, maybe she's driven by love or by duty. She loves Jesus. She wants to serve him. Maybe she understands better than others that Jesus actually is God's promised Messiah. And so she looks to him as her rescuer and king, and she just really wants to serve him well. And so she busies herself trying to work hard for him. Maybe she's driven by pride. I mean, Jesus is an important guest. She wants to impress him and the rest of the disciples with this meal that she has planned. She's this first century Martha Stewart, and she plans to create a meal to remember. She wants others to think of her home as the premier place in town to be invited. This meal, done right, this has the potential to put her on that map. Of course, if it goes wrong, this could really embarrass her. So maybe it's fear that she's driven by. Without Mary's help, maybe she's beginning to worry that this meal isn't going to turn out well. Something might get burned. Something else might be undercooked. What will people think if word gets out that this dinner party was a disaster? I mean, this is what everybody's going to be talking about tomorrow morning around the well. We don't know what's driving Martha to work and to worry so much. I mean, it could be her love for Jesus. But given her level of anxiety, pride or fear seems much more likely. But whatever the case, Martha tries to get Jesus to tell Mary to stop sitting and to get more busy. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, Jesus does intervene, but not in the way that Martha expects. It isn't Mary who ends up getting corrected. Look at verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus' words here to Martha are gentle. This is evident from the grammar, as well as just from the fact that Jesus repeats her name. Jesus isn't scolding her. He is trying to correct someone that he cares a great deal about. Martha is very concerned about many things, but there is one thing that is more important than anything else. There is one thing that needs to come first. There is one thing that needs to take priority. There is one thing that needs to take precedent over being busy with everything else. And what is this one thing? It is what Mary has chosen. Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen. Mary is making sure that she hears and is listening to Jesus. In the midst of all of her frustration and anxiety, Jesus tells Martha that it is more important that she make space to listen to him than that she remain busy for him. Now, I know that some of you do not like this story. You object. You say things like, well, if everyone was a Mary, nothing would ever get done. I mean, it's all good and well for you to say things like this, but what do you think is going to happen if I don't stay really, really busy? I mean, meals aren't going to get made, bathrooms aren't going to get cleaned, the grass isn't going to get mowed, businesses are going to fail, projects aren't going to be completed. I mean, I know you think these things, I know you say these things, because sometimes you say them to me. But that's not the point that Jesus is making here. This is not an either-or lesson. This is a priority lesson. This is not about which to do, but which to do first. Which to make the priority. Which is the most important? Is it more important to listen to Jesus or to be busy for Jesus? Jesus tells Martha to prioritize listening to him before being busy for him. Now, this lesson is not just for Martha, because these are also God's words to us. Jesus is saying to us, it is more important that you sit and listen than that you be busy, even if you're being busy for me. And so let's consider why we need to sit, reasons we don't sit, and ways we can sit. Why we need to sit. Let me give you two, just very quickly. First, the first reason that we need to make sure that we are sitting is because Jesus is our source of spiritual vitality and spiritual power. I mean, just listen to what Jesus himself has said. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Jesus is the source, is our source of spiritual vitality and power. We need what he offers to us. And we plug into that when we sit and we listen to him. Second reason we need to sit is that if we don't sit, if we're not making sure that we sit, it is really easy for us to get headed off in the wrong direction. You know, the things that we are doing, the ministries that we are leading, the projects that we are completing might all be good things, but they're not necessarily the right things. There are always more good things to do than there are people to do them or hours in which to complete them. And Jesus might have some very specific things that he wants us or he wants you to do. I mean, maybe Jesus is saying something like, I want you to teach such and such a class, but it turns out that you are so busy with the food bank or with something else like that you can't even hear him saying this to you. If we don't prioritize sitting and listening to Jesus, it is very easy for us to head off in the wrong direction and not have any idea that we're doing this. Because we are so busy with things that are not actually the things that Jesus wants us to be doing. So we need to sit. But why is it that we don't sit? Well, let me suggest to you three reasons why you don't sit and listen to Jesus. I mean, it could be that you don't sit and listen to Jesus because you love Jesus. I mean, you look around and you think about all the things that could be, that should be, that need to be done. And because you love Jesus, you want to go out and get those things done for Jesus. I mean, there are classes to teach, there are people to reach, there are projects that need to get started and others that need to be finished. And I mean, it is good and important for us to do things for Jesus. But it's also important, even more important, that we prioritize sitting and listening before we get up and start doing. Definitely do. But stop and sit and listen first. For most of us, however, it's not actually quite that simple. We love Jesus, but it's not actually our love for Jesus that drives our busyness. It's something else, something like maybe pride. Sometimes we're too busy to sit and listen to Jesus because we have this image that we want to make sure we are projecting. We're so busy because we want others to be impressed with who we are, with all the things we're involved in, with what we are able to get done. We want to be known as the faithful one, or the sacrificial one, or the responsible one. We want those both in and outside of the church to be impressed with our commitment to Jesus, our service to the community, the trajectory of our career, the well-roundedness of our children. We go and go and go because we want people to be impressed with who we are. Well, if it's not pride, then maybe it's fear that drives us. Maybe we're too busy to sit and listen to Jesus because we have this image that we feel this desperate need to try to protect. We don't have time to sit and listen because we're afraid of what other people are going to think if we don't meet their expectations, if we let them down. I mean, what if the dinner doesn't get made? What if the ministry fails? I mean, like in many other careers, I know pastors who work themselves to the point of exhaustion and despair, and usually to the great frustration of their families because of how busy they are. They say that they are doing, that they are so busy for the sake of Jesus, but oftentimes what is really driving them is this fear that their churches are not going to grow, or that, heaven forbid, their church might fail. You know, and I wonder if Jesus might be saying something that we need to listen to, but because we're working so desperately hard and we're so desperately busy that we can't even hear him when he says to us, "Trust me," or "It is time for you to go home," or "It's okay to let something be undone." But we are too busy for him, driven by our fear, to sit and to listen to, and to actually hear him say this to us. And these are the reasons that we need the gospel. Because the gospel is our hope, whether our struggle is with pride or whether it is with fear. I mean, our pride gets demolished as we embrace the gospel and we come to believe and to accept the truth that every single one of us is more wicked than we want to believe. But our fear is also put to death as we discover that we are also more loved than we can even imagine. You can stop. You can sit. You can listen. Because Jesus is our rescuer and king. He is our rescuer and king who has come to us because we are more wicked than we want to believe. And we are more loved than we can even imagine. Well, since Jesus calls his followers to listen to him over and above getting busy for him, and we've already talked about why we need to sit and reasons why we don't sit, let me identify just very quickly here three good ways or places where we can sit and listen to Jesus. First, sit in a pew, or in our case, a chair. Make corporate worship, together worship, a priority in your life. This is a place where Jesus speaks. The Bible is God's words to us. Each week you are here, God's words are read to you. You sing God's words in the songs that we sing, both old and new, the ones that we sing together. You are covered with the words of God in our times of prayer. You speak the words of God, the scriptures, in our responsive readings in the Lord's Prayer when we recite it together. You hear the words of God, the words of Jesus. You hear them explained and applied in the sermon. This is a place where Jesus speaks. Sitting in the weekly worship service is really important. Second, sit on someone's couch. In other words, be part of a small group. That would be here at DFBC, that would be one of our life groups or our Bible studies. Many of these meet in people's homes and people sit on each other's couches. You know, sometimes when Jesus wants to tell us something, he speaks through other people, especially people who have gotten to know us well and that we have studied and talked about and discussed the words of Scripture together. People that we have invited into our lives. People that we have learned to love as we follow Jesus together. Small groups is a place where we sit and Jesus speaks to us. Third, sit in your favorite chair. Make time and space in your day to regularly read, pray, and listen. Read Scripture. These are God's words to you. Pray. Speak out your cares and your concerns, your joys and your sorrows, your fears and your dreams. Speak these things to God. And then, before getting up and racing off to whatever it is that you need to do next, stop. And just listen. Give God a chance to respond. Because, my friends, he still speaks. Sometimes by bringing a Bible verse to mind, you know, just the right verse at just the right time. Maybe it's a verse that you haven't thought about for a really long time, yet it comes to you as clear as day in just the right moment. That is God speaking to you because you are listening. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, telling us to go one way, not another. And pressing upon us the importance of one opportunity over another opportunity. Sending you to go or to say or to do something that you might not otherwise do. This is God speaking to you because you are listening. My friends, we are so busy that we cannot afford to not listen. As we join in the message and in the mission of Jesus, we need to remember that it is better to listen to Jesus than to try and be really busy for Jesus. And I got to tell you, these next couple of months here at DFBC, these are going to be busy months for us. Right now, we have this missions team in Thailand. In August, we've got our vacation Bible school. Friday night movies are going to start up. There's still opportunity to get involved in both of those. We're still looking for help. Listen, you know, is God saying something to you about that? Shortly after that, many of our ministries are going to start up again. Our life groups, our Bible studies, senior fellowship, our youth group. You know, and all those things are all on top of the things that are ongoing, that have continued through the summer, that continue year-round. Things like our Sunday school, like our food bank, like our closet connection, plus the various committee meetings that take place, the worship services that we have every week. I mean, that is a lot of stuff, and it's good stuff. Stuff that is going to keep us very busy. And you know, I've only mentioned the church stuff. I mean, all of us also have lots of other things going on as well, things that are outside of DFBC, but things that still also matter a great deal to God. You know, whether it's your work or your school or your sports or your hobbies, whatever. I mean, we are so busy that we cannot afford to not sit and listen. And so as we conclude our service together this morning, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper together. But as we do this together, we are going to make some space. We are going to make a place for you to just sit and to listen. Because it could very well be that Jesus has something that he wants to say to you this morning. Something that you are not going to hear unless you sit and you listen for him. And so after I give you some direction, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to invite you to come forward to receive the elements. You can come forward and just tear a piece of bread off, dip it in one of the cups at any of these three tables. They're all the same. If you'd prefer the more traditional way, we have that as well. If by chance coming forward is going to be difficult for you, if you just wave at me, it would be my pleasure to come and serve you. I'm happy to do that. And you can, when you come forward and take these elements, you can take them right here, whether you're with your spouse or with a friend or with one of your children, or you can take them back to your seat. It's totally up to you. You can decide how you want to do that.